Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. We are almost there, everybody. At the end of an epic season 6 of Degrassi The Next Generation. Two more episodes left, though maybe it's one episode because it's a two-parter. But we're doing it in two episodes because fuck that. Hi, everybody. I'm Alan, and I'm going to be taking us through Don't You Want Me Part 1 this evening. We're going to be talking about strip clubs and a real strip club in Toronto that they name and show, and it's pretty amazing.
Wild.
Uh-huh.
Wait till you hear a review, because I got one for you.
Well, before we get into it, who is our resident strip club reviewer out there?
That would be I, one Tim here in Oakville. And yeah, Club Zanzibar. We will talk about that later. I will point out the review, but just a little taste. It's got a 2 out of 5 on Yelp review, so don't expect great reviews.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's what I've got coming up later. And who may have outfitted some of these strippers? Could it be the vagina from Regina?
It could be. You can get all kinds of sexy clothing at industriallove.com. Also strippery shoes, if that's what you like. And also poles, if you want one for your house.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. It's Arlo. And I am probably going to go off on this episode about its shaming of sex workers.
Yay.
So you can look forward to that.
I think I wrote that in my notes. Arlo probably has some views.
Stacy, hello?
Who else is here?
Hi, this is Stacy. And Club Zanzibar, when COVID was, you know, people were starting to go out again. Club Zanzibar had on their marquee, the girls were vaxxed and waxed.
Yes, so sure did.
It's still in existence. It's still there on Yonge Street in Toronto. And I know this as a New Yorker because who knows why. Anyway, Stacy from America, how are you all doing? Let's talk about this episode.
Well,
make pubic hair cool again.
Yeah. You know what?
Waxed and waxed.
If you want to pull up your review, Tim, because we may as well talk about Zanzibar, seeing as it's come up already. So Club Zanzibar, which is the strip club that Alex works in this episode, is a real strip club. That's the name of it. That is the strip club that they show.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a prominent location on Yonge Street. If you go to what some people shamefully refer to as Toronto's version of Times Square, Yonge Dundas Square, you go just a little bit north of there, like maybe a 2-minute walk, and you're at Zanzibar. And
Yonge Street used to be known, like back in, what would you say, the 80s, maybe early 90s, as kind of a seedy street in some spots, right? There's a lot of...
Just like Times Square.
Like strip clubs and things like that hanging around, and it's changed over the years.
Yeah, so if you go south of Dundas on Yonge Street, then you have like the Eaton Center and there are theaters, and it's actually pretty dumpy now. It's almost reversed, but back in the day, that was like the nice part. It went down to like the financial district where everybody, you know, works during the day. You go north of Dundas and it gets kind of progressively like shittier. So when we would go there, I went there on a high school trip twice. And both times they were like, okay, we're going to set you loose in the Eaton Center, but like, don't go in the subway and don't go north of Dundas. But of course we did go north of Dundas because once upon a time, north of Dundas was Sam the Record Man and HMV. Yep. So those used to be by that Zanzibar. They are gone. Everything around it is gone. Like the physical buildings are gone except for Zanzibar.
Yeah, there's two sort of well-known strip clubs, I would say, in Toronto, right? There's Zanzibar and there's the Brass Rail.
Yes.
And I believe I read recently that the Brass Rail, the building that it's in, might get historic status.
It might, yeah. I mean, Zanzibar might too. Who knows?
Yeah.
But everything there is now condos, everybody. So it has been destroyed, but Zanzibar is still there. And Tim, do you want to give your personal review of Zanzibar?
Not my personal review. Uh-huh. I actually have never been to Zanzibar. Never actually been there, to be honest with you. But I did look up on Yelp what Zanzibar was rated at. Rated, as I mentioned, a 2 out of 5. So not very strong. And this one of the first few reviews I saw caught me by interest because it gave a 1 out of 5. So this person thought it was worse.
Okay.
So certainly an experience I will never forget. Started off with drinks. Nearly had to remortgage the house to pay the bill. Group of vultures flocked around our table minutes into the nightmare, which is Zanzibar. When I came to, I was on a 40-year-old love seat in the basement of the grounds. First offer was 30 minutes for my firstborn child. My friends and I lost millions at this establishment, but our dignity is something we will never get back. Finishes off with 10 out of 10, would recommend, best night ever. Gave it a 1 out of 5. So, slightly confused Nick from Oshawa, but if you know enough about Oshawa, that might not be too surprising.
I also like the idea, like, I just want to go to a strip club and have drinks and be left alone. It's like, you do not know how this place works, buddy.
And then let me go rate it on Yelp.
Yelp, yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I've never been there either. I have been to not a lot of strip clubs, but enough. Arlo and I have been to a few. Together.
I was going to say, you and I have been to quite a few strip clubs together, weirdly enough.
When I first moved to, it must have been when we first moved to Ottawa, and I was just getting to know people, I told so many stories that started off with, we were at the strip club, and after a while I was like, I don't really go that much, and I'm just going to give the wrong impression, but yeah.
There's... I like strip clubs. I do. I think they're fun, especially when the girls, because the girls like seeing other girls there and they get all excited. And especially if you go to one that's kind of small and you're literally the only girl there and they know you by name by the end of the night. It's really fun.
In the last episode, I talked about how there's gambling, like blackjack tables in North Dakota that start at $1. And there is one in one of the strip clubs in Fargo. So there you go.
I think if I worked in a strip club, I would start to hate men.
Yeah,
You know,
I would think so.
I wouldn't think they would rise up your ladder of whatever you want to call it, good people.
I don't know. I think they would just, I think the amount, I mean, I'm sure there's some nice people that go or whatnot, but I think the amount of creeps that you encounter would just really start to make you hate people, you know?
Well, we'll see if it works well for Alex, everybody. Spoiler alert, she's going there.
I mean, she's already like a lesbian, so if she starts hating men, it doesn't really matter, I guess. But
let's dive into this episode, shall we? We are at the end of season 6 of Degrassi. What a season, and what a finale we're going to go through. Two-parter called Don't You Want Me. It was released in Canada on May 7th, 2007, and on my 29th birthday, on July 27th, 2007, in the United States, written by James Hurst, directed by Phil Earnshaw. Should note, in the next episode, part 2, it will have the same director and a different writer, so we'll see how that goes, as usual. The song is named after a Human League track called Don't You Want Me, which rules, and it actually does make sense because the first lyric is, you were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. So I'm like, okay, you finally got one. Fucking great,
sure.
Degrassi.
And also there's some like some tension there with Alex and Paige in terms of
don't you want me?
If you want to date me or not. Yeah. So this really does, the title really does.
Good job, guys. So, finally. Yeah.
Only took all season.
Good job.
You did it.
Yeah. Fun fact, Philip Oakey, the lead singer of the Human League, hated this song, thought it sucked, purposefully made it the very last track on the album Dare because he wanted to bury it. It was released as a single and hit number one everywhere. So,
and probably haunted him the rest of his life.
And rightly so. The song is awesome. Any thoughts?
The song is awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. Great song.
I agree. Yep.
One of the best tracks from the 80s.
Yeah, it was a Christmas number one in the UK. It's the 23rd most successful single in UK singles history. So bury it at the back of your album, buddy. There you go. All right. By the way, I talk about this song at length at the in the Super Hits podcast. If you go and check that one out, it's a great podcast out there on all the platforms. Host is pretty sexy too. So, just saying. Anyways, all right. So we start this episode off at Alex's place. We are with Alex and Paige, which I mean, I guess they've gotten over everything. Like when we last saw Alex and Paige, I believe that. Alex was pissed off at Paige because Paige was humping a lot of guys and Alex was still into her and they were really mad and they left in that episode kind of unresolved and now they're just hanging out again. So we're cool. Right? Like, sure.
Yeah. It's what they do.
Yeah. Alex's mom, Emily, I believe, is there. And Chad, the hero, is sitting there. Sitting on the couch watching a bitchin' plasma television. So where he's watching car racing. I mentioned this. We're recording this kind of in a session on Black Friday. Plasma TVs now pretty much don't exist. And I was down in the States on Black Friday. And you could probably buy a television just like that for about, what, $200? So,
yeah.
Yeah. But Chad's dropped a lot of money on this plasma television. And he's watching car racing. And there's a knock on the door, which Emily assumes is the landlord coming to collect money. Chad gets up and opens the door. And, oh no, it's the cops.
Two episodes in a row.
Yeah. They have a warrant for Chad's arrest. It's for credit card fraud. They cuff him and drag him away. And Emily goes chasing as well. And after this incident happens and they leave, Paige says to Alex, "Wow, how cops was that?"
After witnessing what seems like her life breaking, she tries to make a joke.
Yes. Alex says, "Bitch, leave," basically.
My notes started off by saying, "I already want to smack Paige and we're 2 seconds in."
And she hasn't said hun once yet.
Yeah. I think she said to Alex's mom, "You're the hostess with the mostest." I think that's what it was. Yeah. God. Like, I wish I could interview Lauren Collins and ask her, like, how much did you want to, like, if you met Paige, would you want to smack her in the face as much as most of us want to? Like, I just, oh my God.
As Teddy would say, "Paige, we've talked about this. You need to talk like a normal human."
Ugh. So we get the show open. We then have Emily arriving back home, and Alex asks where Chad is. Emily says he's in jail. He lied about his raise, and he was actually fired, which I'm like, Chad, you're a fucking amazing guy. Like, did we ever establish where Chad was working in the first place? Like, because we're assuming that it's not on Bay Street. For our American listeners, that would be Wall Street equivalent. But also, like, you know,
he probably worked in like a plant or something, right?
Yeah. And so,
yeah, like on a factory, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Right?
Which, he works at the garage with Jay.
Yeah. Maybe. And like, nothing wrong with that. But also, the story of like, well, I was making $20 an hour and I got a big raise and now I'm making $500 an hour. Like,
like, wow, we could barely make our payments on this place and now we're just buying frivolous things.
Yes.
Raise. That must have been.
So he lied about this. Alex says, well, that was 6 weeks ago. And her mom says he was also buying plasma televisions with stolen credit cards. And Alex says, well, we can return the television because he's gone and he's a loser and they're okay. But Emily is then like, well, I gave him a card with a name on it. I'm like, you fucking dummy. Like,
yeah. You just get done believing that he's got this raise at work, and your thought was, you know what he needs? Me to give him a credit card.
Yep. Ugh. So she's in the hole for $6,000. So Wah-wah. Emily's going to work double shifts, but says it may not be enough. See, this should have been the Corey Hart fucking named episode. It ain't enough. It ain't enough for rent. So Alex says it's their problem. They're going to get through it together. So that's how we set things up, everybody. Alex needs money.
Man, and to having to say you have to use your credit card to pay your bills. Now, I'm lucky enough where I've never had to really do that ever. Maybe near the end of university, a couple things. But credit card to pay your bills, you're paying like, what, 27% interest on that? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's not good.
Wow. You're in a bad spot.
So we are now at Degrassi. We have Manny fretting over exams. And she's like, if I don't pass, I can't be your college roommate, Emma. But Emma has it in her head that her and Sean are going to be living together. So
where? Why?
I mean, Sean's living on his own, and he's lived with somebody before. So from his standpoint, maybe conceivable. Who knows? But I don't know. Manny's skeptical about all this. She says the only four-letter word in the male dictionary is commitment. And I was like, well, now I know why you're worried about your exams, dummy.
Wait, no, but she also said, M, you're 17, you have your whole life to settle down behind a white picket fence. Where was this energy a year and a half from this episode, Manny?
Uh-huh.
Where was it?
Nope. This is where we're at now.
Ooh, I don't know what we're talking about. Juicy.
Oh, can't wait for you to find that out.
I kind of hope I never do.
So now we're at the movie theater. So Alex is back to working at the theater. Paige shows up and they start to have a conversation because Alex doesn't have customers or responsibilities. They can just fucking chat. And Alex explains what Chad did. And Paige offers Alex some money, which where does she have money?
First she offered to ask for a job, didn't she? I could get you a job.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
A store?
I guess so, right?
For what?
She has some kind of new, like, she's, I guess, some kind of fashion assistant or something. Is that right?
No,
yeah,
not
I think
yet.
It's at this high up and coming boutique called Swatch. Yes. No, sorry, Squatch.
Squatch, yeah. I don't know. Paige somehow is rolling in money, I guess. $6,000. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, it's all the money that Spinner's paying her.
And then cut of her profits.
Yeah, and then at this point in time, I think the writers were like, wasn't there somebody named Tracy who we used to write about? And they're like, oh, fuck, yeah. All right, so they're like, oh, we broke up. Alex is like, yeah, we're done. So we finally write her off.
Who, Carla?
Oh, is it Carla? Oh,
it's
see,
Carla.
I don't even remember either. Fucking Carla.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I was just going to let it go.
Yeah, no, it's Carla.
Yeah, it's Carla.
Well, there you go. That's how important she was. The writers are like, Tracy, Carla, fuck it. They broke up. They're done. And then Paige references that she's having a housewarming party. So
what does that mean?
Like, because all 19-year-olds have housewarming parties in their dorm mansions.
But she's squatting in this house.
She's been back for like a month, isn't she? Like,
mm-hmm.
But she newly is moving into Dylan's room, I guess. Where she was staying before, I couldn't tell you. So
okay. So she's like, oh yeah, we're having a housewarming party. So now we're at the housewarming party. Just go right
another
to it.
Housewarming party.
Yes.
Every time somebody moves into a new room in that house, they have to have a housewarming party.
Yeah. Marco and Ellie are talking about how well Paige made the appetizers, and I'm thinking M&M meats and an oven. Like,
yeah,
that's
you are.
That's how you do it. So my mom's having a party tonight, a pre-Christmas party, and she described all the things that she made, and I was like, you got that at M&M Meats, and she was like, not this time, my friend made it. It's like, that's even better. So yeah, they
there's
reference
probably a spring roll or two there, or maybe like a pod sticker.
Yes. I mean, if I had a party, I would make all the things, but well, I went to culinary school, so
I would go to M&M Meats or I would order pizzas like I did at my wedding. So they reference Jesse, and Marco suggests that Ellie go and meet somebody at a club, and I was like, well, that is bad advice, but also, I mean, Jesse, so it's probably still a step up. Like,
yeah,
go ahead and roll the dice, fuck it. So Alex shows up with Jay.
Yep. And the puff of red smoke.
The puff of red smoke shows up with his girlfriend, this new person, Mel.
Mel. Yeah, he's with Mel.
And Mel her resume, her name is Christina Pesek, and I don't recognize a lot of things on her resume, but notably, she was in one of my favorite movies, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, as a character named Sandra, and she reprises that role in the new Scott Pilgrim anime, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, which just got added to Prime, if you haven't
seen it
yet.
Wait a minute,
it's great.
That's amazing, because Alex, Paige, JT, and Sean all worked with Michael Cera on I Was a Sixth Grade Alien before Degrassi. It's all connected.
Family.
All those Canadian.
All connected.
Yeah, it's so incestual, the Canadian TV show and movie landscape.
But yeah, if you are a Scott Pilgrim fan and you haven't seen the anime yet, I do recommend it. It's not just like a remake of the movie. It's actually an alternate storyline, kind of. So definitely worth the watch.
So we get Paige being surprised that Jay is there, along with all of us. Like,
everyone's surprised about his appearance everywhere, because literally he just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, he comes out of nowhere. So in this case, why would he show up at this house? You know,
he's also like 25 at this point. It's like,
yeah,
come on, Jay.
But also, like, I could see Jay showing up if he's like trolling for pussy, but like, he's got a girlfriend with him. Why would he bring his girlfriend to this party? But
he's heard about Paige's cooking.
Yes, yes.
And he's come for the eats.
So Mel is conveniently trying to get Alex to work where she works. Paige suggests it's a strip bar, and Jay says it's Club Zanzibar, which is actually a strip club, as we've already discussed.
And yeah.
He says it's a respectable cocktail bar on one side. And he then calls the strippers peelers. And Mel says they prefer to be called exotic dancers. And I'm wondering if that's true.
And question for Stacey, is the term peelers a Canadian thing, an Ontario thing, or is it a North American thing?
What is a peeler?
It is an
stripper.
Arlo, is it an Ontario thing or a Canadian thing?
I...
Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't know what was coming.
Have
you heard of the term?
Yes, I've heard of the term, but I couldn't tell you if I've heard it from television or if anybody I know would actually use that term.
So, Stacey, peelers is another term for a strip club.
Oh.
I would say often used in rural areas more so than metropolitan areas.
Well,
but
they peel off their clothes.
Yeah. So you say, are you going to the peelers with someone like that?
Oh, so, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. According to thesaurus.com, we have, you know, words for a stripper: bump and grinder. I don't know who's ever used that. Peeler, lap dancer, strip tease artist, strip teaser, burlesque queen, lap dancer, stripper. Yeah, that's kind of what we get on the internet, everybody. So this Mel works at the bar. She works fully clothed in the cocktail bar, and she makes about $150 a night in tips. And Alex is excited about this, so Mel says that she'll get her an interview. And Paige, who just dropped out of college, that's the whole reason that she's back, is because she's
working for profits of a company or a store that doesn't make anything.
Yeah. makes a comment about Mel that's basically like, oh, I'm really shocked she works at Zanzibar. I would have guessed NASA. And I'm like, you fucking dropout, shut your hole. Like, seriously.
How far are you going to fall from that high horse?
Yeah, like, seriously. So let's go over to the Nelson place. Everybody is sitting around the table along with Sean. And Sean says that his job is basically dead end and he needs to upgrade his skills if he wants to run his own shop. So Snake.
Whoa, that's a pull.
Yeah. Snake suggests that Sean can go to a tech school, and Sean says, well, I need money while I go to school, but I have an idea where I can learn and get paid at the same time. And I'm immediately like, Army. It's the Army.
100%.
He's talking about the Army. Yeah. Emma asks.
But probably the most concrete plan that's ever come out of his mouth.
Yes. Emma asks where, and he blows it off. So she keeps pressing, and he's like, dumb shit, it's the Army. So. Emma thinks that he's joking, but Sean has already signed up and passed the physical. And I'm like, after the season that you had, no shit. Like,
yeah,
run.
Yeah, seriously, he's like, get me the fuck out of here right now.
I don't
send me to, I don't care. Just send me away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Front lines, don't give a shit. Snake is really happy and he's like, you might be a perfect fit. And Emma storms off. So
Emma goes into full bitch mode.
I would say, and the best part is he just sits there and continues to eat his burger because he's like, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah, he's like, all right, with her. I'll let her stomp downstairs. I'm going to continue eating my burger with my pickles. It's fine.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I know where this is going. I'm going to be in a full stomach before I deal with this.
So we get a shot of Zanzibar when it's still not, like, Yonge Street is still not totally destroyed at this point, though it's getting there. Alex has been hired for her first shift that night. Like, she was interviewed during the day, and they're like, come on in. So she thanks.
Well, and here, sorry, not to jump in. When she says, like, I'll see you tonight for my first shift. Like, do the writers think we're stupid? Like, yes, we know it's going to be your first shift. Why not just, I'll see you tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why add that part? I know it's nitpicking, but what, come on. Like,
well, I completed my interview, and I got the job, and I haven't had a shift yet here, so tonight will be the first one. I will see you there.
Wink to the audience.
Yeah. So she thanks Mel for helping her. And then, of course, we need to have a stereotype. So
yeah.
We might have the greatest
character. Gotta have the creepy owner.
Yeah.
The greatest character in Degrassi.
Vlad, the manager.
And he's like, creep on Days of Our Lives in the 90s, too. Late 80s, early 90s. He likes to be typecast as that type of character, apparently.
Well, he immediately sees Alex and it's like, oh, Alex, you're prettier than many of my dancers. So
I want to suck your... I mean
it's another terrible accent.
It's fucking amazing. Like,
he is legit playing Count Dracula.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh my god.
One Hello. Lap dance, two lap dance, three lap dance.
So funny.
He suggests Alex may want to audition to be a... you might want to audition to be a dancer. Then he leaves.
My room.
Yeah.
Then we can have the sex.
Where all the money is.
Jesus. Mel and Alex both want to barf, so there you go. And later we see Alex serving drinks, and she's happy with the tips, and she talks to Mel, and they see a stripper walk by with a client. Arlo, I imagine your blood is boiling throughout the scene. So first of all, she's like really happy, and I'm like, the real conversation would be like, that asshole said this guy propositioned me, this guy tried to grab my ass.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But no, she's just the cocktail waitress side of the strip club is fucking heaven. Everyone's polite. It's just great. And they're happy with the money, but then they see the stripper, and Mel's like, well, they pay well, but Alex scoffs at it. And Mel, who seems to tell people very quickly that she only serves drinks and does not take her clothes off, is now all of a sudden like, what do you have against stripping, Alex?
How dare you?
Yeah. Alex.
Well, and she really goes like back and forth this entire episode, right? Like, she goes from like, what's wrong with stripping, to like, well, you could strip, but you would sell your soul. Like, she's very like, you know. And the stripper that they use, by the way, the one that consistently, the one that they keep on looking at longingly as she gets her giant paychecks and wads of cash or whatever, is her name is Sherry Jubilee, by the way.
Real life stripper?
Well, is she a real stripper or like a
no,
real something?
She's an actor.
Oh, okay.
Her last name is Jubilee. Oh, wow. That's a solid name.
Uh-huh. You're sure she's not a stripper with that name?
Yeah.
No. She's Sherry Jubilee in the show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Her actual name is Sarah Plummer. Not quite
that's boring.
That is not a stripper name.
Not a strippery.
Can I check your pipes? All right. Yeah, so Alex says, well, I'm doing this because I need money. And Mel says, yeah, well, so does Sherry Jubilee. The only difference is she needs it more than you. I mean, she could just be enjoying it and make a lot of money. Who knows? But we go to Alex's apartment. Alex walks in and her mom is counting change.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, did she really think that she's like, I might have $6,000 here?
In the change jar?
Like, she's counting. One, I'm getting closer.
Yeah. So she tells her mom that she started working at a fancy bistro and pulls out a wad of cash. And Her mom is not thrilled at this news because she shows Alex that they have an eviction notice. They have 10 days to get the money. They need $2,000. It turns out Chad was not paying the rent and hiding the letters from the building management. Chad the hero.
Oh my God.
Chad for the win.
Yeah. Her mom cries and says she never wanted it to be like this. And so basically what we're doing here, by the way, is we're very quickly getting Alex into more and more peril with money because what's she going to do? Right.
Make some tough choices.
Yeah. So then we have Alex immediately dressing, like, I mean, I guess I'll say sexy and dancing as she looks at herself in a mirror. And Mel shows up and Alex suggests that she's going to dance. And we see that Alex has been looking at pole dancing videos and practicing her moves. And her moves are not good.
No. No. I say this as someone who's been to strip clubs. No. Oh, my God. How many times did they have to do that scene? Because, I mean, I know they at one point they do start laughing because it's so goofy. But I would have started laughing as soon as the director said action.
Yes. Yeah. It's something else. So,
I do have a couple of deleted scenes here.
Okay.
Is it one of Jay in the corner just rolling his fingers together?
Gotcha. And laughing. I'm not sure exactly where they appear in this episode, but it feels like maybe around this point. So we have one that takes place in the dorm mansion. And Marco is looking in the mirror, putting finishing touches on a shirt and a tie, snazzy outfit. And Paige walks in the door and she asks if he's stepping out on her brother. And Marco says, no, he's going to be Ellie's wingman tonight because she wants to find love at the club.
Ugh.
And he's hoping if she meets someone, she'll be less bitter about what happened with Jesse and the tensions between her and Paige will improve. And Paige says, actually, she just came from a breakup coffee date with Jesse. And they are finished. And she felt like his therapist because all he would talk about is Ellie.
Uh-huh.
And besides, she has other things on her mind right now. And Marco suggests that her mind is on someone named Alex. And Paige kind of coyly says maybe, but then she gets kind of serious and says definitely because Alex is working at Zanzibar. And Paige couldn't sleep last night and almost had another panic attack about it.
Oh, no.
Because strippers, guys, strippers. And then Marco tells Paige that Alex can look after herself. And Paige says that she's worried because Alex is her friend. Marco points out that Alex is her ex. And she also just broke up with Jesse. So what does that mean? And Paige denies that they're anything other than friends and that they're not getting back together.
I'd like to thank Phil Earnshaw or whoever the editor was of this episode for cutting that scene out so I did not have to watch it.
What was the point of even having the relationship then?
To make Ellie bitch and moan.
And what was the point of that? Like,
I know.
Well, I like how I think that they had to get an episode out earlier with Paige and they were like, well, let's break Jesse and Ellie up suddenly and have Jesse be with Paige. And then they were like, well, what are we going to do after that? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Doesn't matter.
We'll figure it out.
A few episodes later, it's just... And again, you just described a deleted scene, which we don't see later. Paige will just blow it off in a sentence. So, for the viewers.
Oh, great. Yeah, we broke up.
Yeah.
So, the other deleted scene is Alex is in her living room with her mom, sort of putting the finishing touches on her makeup. She's about to go out to her job. And she's kind of humming to herself, and she seems to be in a good mood. And her mom points out that she seems to be in a good mood. And we learn Paige is going to help her get some studying done before she goes to work. And her mom suggests that they won't be just studying. And Alex says that they're just friends. And her mom points out that she dumped Carla as soon as Paige came back into town. And Alex sort of coyly says that she doesn't want to talk about it. And her mom asks her if she has thought any more about the opening at work. And Alex says that even though she knows they need the money, she doesn't ultimately think that it's for her. And her mom says she'll ask for an extension on the rent from the landlord. And her mom thinks that he might have a crush on her.
Ah, all right.
And then Alex leaves to go study with Paige.
Again, thanks, editors. So now we have Sean showing up at Degrassi. So Sean was expelled at the start of the season. He started and participated in a brawl at Degrassi in the middle of the season when he was an expelled student. Now he's back there again. At least Em is like, well, you shouldn't be here. We blow it off by have him being like, well, I'm outside. And it's like, you're on the steps. Like, a pedophile can't walk up to the steps and stand outside the door of the school and be like, technicality, not in the school. Like, doesn't work like that, everybody.
I'm in, I'm out. Yeah. I'm in, I'm out.
So he says he's been calling her and she's been avoiding him. And I'm like, dude, like, fucking run. Like, this is it. Your window's open. Get out. So she says she can't believe he made such a stupid decision without talking to her. And so then Sean spreads propaganda about spreading democracy and peacekeeping. I'm like, all right, that's also bullshit, Sean. Come on, dude. Emma says Sean would hate it because the army is about taking orders.
Then also, really, would Sean Cameron actually ever utter those words?
Yeah. It's about democracy and peacekeeping.
He probably doesn't know those words.
No.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I love Sean, but no.
Yeah. So then Emma starts being cryptic again. She's like, yeah, well, I need you more than any time ever. And he's like, why? And she's like, you wouldn't be able to take it. And I'm like, oh, you're pregnant. Okay. Like,
yeah. And I totally forgot this part, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I didn't watch enough, but I was like, right there. Of course you're pregnant. Of course we're doing this again.
Yeah. So Paige and Alex are studying together and Alex wants to take a break. And this is where Paige reveals to anyone who didn't see the deleted scene that she's single since she had zero in common with Jesse. And Paige talks about how all of her big plans for the year fell through, but now she's there with Alex and it feels right. And she smooches her. And I'm like, that's a fucking shit move, Paige. Like, you know, this person's into you. And you're just fucking yo-yoing them in, like, relationships and flings and whatever. Alex pulls away and is not into this at this point. And she flips out on Paige and asks her to make her mind. And Paige says, well, you're okay with being a lesbian, but I don't know what you are. And Alex is like, you're bisexual. Like, the fuck, right? So Paige,
I mean, good for Alex though for calling her out on her bullshit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Paige says, my parents already have one gay kid. Like, what? Like, fuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is writing from what, 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other thing, oh, they expect me to have the grandchildren. You still can. Like, fuck. Nothing is stopping you from that, dum-dum.
Yeah.
Come on. Even back then, lesbian couples were having babies. Like,
yeah.
Who was the person who wrote this?
Like, look, I could have bought this and been okay with it if she'd said, just, you know, I just came home and dropped out of university.
Yes.
I don't need to drop another bombshell on my parents just yet.
Agreed.
Like, that's, I'd be like, okay, fine. But she has to be like, I already got one gay kid. Like, you know, we're tolerant
They've
enough
reached
as a,
the quota.
Yeah, we're tolerant enough as a society for one, but two in the family, we're not there yet. So,
not to a Banting alumni.
Yeah.
Did Canada have a two-child, like a policy like China did with the, you can't have more than, you can't have
it
more than one
time.
Gay child.
But it was kind of like, don't ask, don't tell, where at the time that they passed the law, they were like, this is progressive. We're allowing you to have one.
You're allowing to have one.
Yeah. So Alex then says everything runs on Paige's schedule, and Paige says Alex doesn't understand the pressure she's under. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Read the room.
Yeah, I know, right? And, like, Paige knows. Like, I believe Alex has told her about the money trouble. I mean, at the very least, Paige knows Alex is working at Zanzibar, so...
Well, and she knows her mom's boyfriend
her
or
money,
whoever was arrested.
Yeah, she offered her money, so she knows that stuff's going on.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. But she's like, no, you don't understand what I'm going through, Alex. Fucking bitch. Seriously.
Oh, God, Paige.
Nonsense.
I mean, when has Paige not been like a selfish cow? So that's kind of true.
True. It's par for the course.
So Emma is bitching to Manny about Sean joining the army. And Manny, I'm sure Manny's just like, why? Like,
man.
Didn't they have like a big falling out earlier in the season? Oh no, they met on the steps in the last five seconds of the episode and patched it up. Sorry. And
Manny's like, Manny wants to say, can't you be happy for somebody once?
Yeah, seriously. Manny's like, I'm sure Sean is doing it for the right reasons and you're probably one of them. And I'm like, well, I'd say that Emma is one of the reasons why Sean is joining the army. Yes.
Is leaving.
Yeah. Yes.
And taking a chance at dying.
Yeah. Emma says she's just unhappy that she had plans for them and something else is happening. And Manny asks if they're getting into control issues again and asks if Emma is okay. And Emma says she is. At least we remembered that that's a thing. And then the cell phone rings and Jack, baby Jack, answers it. And it's so adorable. So
can, all right. But can we point out the incredibly large size of Jack's head? Like, I'd be slightly concerned. And he has a receding hairline already. Like, this is, I'm concerned.
I didn't notice. Isn't that what babies look like? I don't know.
Well, not usually point, with the heads of, like, the size of an adult. He should be dragging
babies look
them
like
on the
aliens.
Ground.
I don't know.
Yeah, but at this point, Jack should be close to 3 because he was born in season 3. So, I don't know.
I'm concerned. I think he might be delayed.
So, now we're back at Zanzibar. Alex is studying.
on her shift.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Second shift.
If it's your gimmick, oh, I'm just a high school student and I need to study for exams. Like, okay, it's quite the gimmick. Vlad, though, is like, move your ass. Like, get out there. So we see her serving drinks.
The tips.
Yeah, we see her serving drinks again, and we again see the same stripper take a client away for a lap dance. And later, Alex is getting her tips. And, of course, it's like, you get this small wad of cash, and the stripper gets a big wad of cash.
You get this comically large wad of cash.
Yeah, walk out of this strip club with this giant wad of cash. That makes sense.
This one stripper that I talked to at Scores in New York, which was a famous strip club. I don't know if Scores is still around. Her stage name was Rain, but her real name was Maria. And I'll talk about this because this is more than 20 years ago. She was Greek like me. We were very excited to find out that we were both Greek. She was saving up money to become a teacher.
Oh, nice.
She was working at Scores and making a lot of money. And let me tell you, she had a great ass. I'll give her that. She really did. I told her that, and she loved me for it. And it was a lot of fun. And our coworkers, because I went out with my coworkers from NBC. It was me and two other girls, and they were just buying us lap dances the whole night. It was great. We didn't have to pay anything. It was fantastic. One of the best experiences of my life.
All right. Go NBC. Yeah. The Peacock.
Yeah.
That's right. So Emma and Sean now meet outside of, I guess, Emma's place. And Emma says, Sean needs to sit down to hear her news. And I'm like, okay, pregnant. But Sean, of course, is like...
By the way, one of the rare times it's snowing on Degrassi.
Yeah. Good job, Degrassi. Yep. Sean says, I know...
Daytona.
Well, and, you know, knowing that they filmed Degrassi the Next Gen on a soundstage, not in an actual place or whatever, it's actually kind of impressive that they went to the trouble to make it snow.
No, that's outside. That house is outside. Yeah, no, it's like next to where the school building is and where
it's outside in the lot or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's in the lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's why it was actual. You could tell it was actual snow because you could see how red their noses were.
So Sean says, "I know what's going on, Emma. You're anorexic again." Like, oh, Sean, adorable. Emma says, "No, she's pregnant." And Sean says, okay, he's going to freak out. And then he asks Emma if she's sure and if she did a test. And she's like, well, we'll do it together. And I'm like,
but my mom got pregnant.
Yeah, like, you can't be like, I'm pregnant. Like, you could be like, I suspect I'm pregnant. I have these signs. Yeah. But you wouldn't be like, I'm pregnant.
I'm late. Like, any of those choice of words.
Can we put out a PSA here, okay? Because sometimes when you first start having sex, your insides are like, whoa, I had a penis inside me. And it makes everything kind of wacky because it happened to me. I was like 2 weeks late and I was like, and then I realized, no, there's no way, even though I had sex, we were like very careful. But like, let's put a PSA out there for people who are just having sex that this sometimes happens and don't automatically assume you're pregnant. Like, seriously, calm down.
Also, I will also say, too, like, when you're a teenager, like, you are super paranoid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would hope so.
Paranoid.
Yeah. Plus, she's the daughter of a teen mom. So, of course, she automatically jumps to
those Nelsons are really fertile.
Yes.
And, well, actually, a granddaughter of a teen mom, a daughter of a teen mom.
Oh, my gosh. We're third generation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Alex arrives home and asks her mom if she got an extension from the building manager. But of course, again, we're getting into more financial trouble, right? So she's like, yeah, I tried, but he didn't have a thing for me after all. So we're going to have to go back to the women's shelter. And I'm like, you're just really laying it on. Like, I get that it's a real...
She went and tried to offer sex to the landlord?
She might
pretty
have.
Much, yes.
I think so,
basically,
right?
What she was doing. Yeah. She was hitting on him to try and get, like, an extension.
So, yeah. So now it's like, okay, this is the third thing, and they're still out of money. So what's Alex going to do? I'm just thinking of, like, all these comical reasons that they could keep losing money. Like...
So true.
In the next one, she's like, and then I was at the bank and I was smoking, but then I threw the cigarette at the bottom of the bank and I burned the bank down and all the money burned. And now I owe the bank all this money. Like,
I was walking home and my check fell down into the sewers.
Yeah, like just so many reasons to lose money. But yeah. Here we are. So Alex says, we won't go back there. I know what to do. So Emma and Sean are waiting for the test to end. And they check the test, and it's negative, and Sean is like, yes, and I'm like, yes.
And Emma should have been like, yes.
Yeah, I did appreciate the, I thought we had all the bases covered, and then, oh, sometimes you hit a home run. I'm like, Emma would not say that.
No. So Emma is like, well, false negatives can happen, and she's also freaking out, so.
I have all the signs.
Yeah, so she really, 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 really wants to be pregnant so that he doesn't go away. So, great, we're going to see how that plays out in part two. Can't wait, everybody.
It's just, this all feels so manipulative.
Yeah, so contrived.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. It totally is. Yeah.
You know, and maybe if it was coming from someone other than Emma, I would just think that she was paranoid. But because it's Emma, I'm like, you little manipulative fucking bitch. Like, I just can't see her any other way.
So now we're finally back at Zanzibar, and we may as well just see, like, Alex ripping her soul out of her body and, like, stomping on it. Right, Arlo?
Oh, you're seeing Jay slowly pulling it out, like in Mortal Kombat. He's pulling the soul.
Yeah. She's looking at the mirror, and Mel walks in, and she's like, you're actually gonna do this. And Alex is like, the circumstances have changed my mind. And Mel says to her,
Being a stripper is the worst possible thing that you can do with your life.
Like, you may as well just commit suicide if you're going to be a stripper. She's like, she actually says, if you go out there, it will change you.
It changes you forever. You become a monster.
You will never be the same person.
No matter what
say
you do.
Say goodbye to Alex. Say hello to...
Lextacy.
Yeah. She's like... No matter what job you have, you're just going to think about your naked tits out everywhere in your vagina. It's disgusting. Arlo, please, you said you had thoughts.
You'll just become a piece of meat with no soul. Sex work is real work, okay? It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't have to change your morals. It doesn't have to change who you are as a person. It is a job. It's fine. I am friends with some people who do stripping for a living. It's allowed them to have their own company. It's allowed them to raise their children and pay for their housing. Like, it's not... Being a stripper, it's a job. It doesn't make you into some type of person.
No, actually, Arlo.
You do stripping. You are not a stripper.
No, you only do stripping if you have zero choices, like if everything falls apart and you have no choice, and when you do it, it's over. You're a different person forever. So
you are now Lextacy.
Yeah.
I actually work with a girl named Lexi, and I'm going to call her Lextacy forever.
Nice.
You better.
That's funny. Did anyone notice the song that she walked out to? Because I did, because you know I noticed that dumb shit. The song that was playing when she got on stage was the same song that was playing in Rock This Town, the episode when JT is killed, when they're dancing at Emma's party, and Manny kisses Damien, and Sean drags Emma into the basement.
Oh, right. The sexy song.
It's the same song. Yeah.
Well, Alex walks out on stage, and there she goes, and that's it. we're going to have to come back in the next episode to see the changed Alex. Like, yeah, I don't know what to tell
with
you.
No soul.
The whore, according to Degrassi.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's great. Yes. Great, everybody. Yeah. I mean, look.
Strippers, you might as well just line up for the bukkake now. Like, it's all over for you.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Think about all the fucking shit that people have come back from in these episodes, right? And, like, but this is the one. You know, Emma Blue Jay in the van, and they were like, let's go take her and get a shot, and then nothing is said of it again. But this one, it's like, it's the end of you. So...
Or is it?
Shame, shame, Alex, shame.
Yeah.
Your money problems are worth the shame of you being a stripper.
So there you go, everybody. That is part one. We will come back next week and we will finish the season. Don't You Want Me Part Two, again, written by a brand new person. And how far will Alex go down this path of shame to make money?
Her mom is completely useless. But her mom is completely useless. Like, what is she even doing? It's just awful. Oh, my God. I would move out. I'd be like, well, I'm an adult now. I'm over 18. So, bye. You can deal with your shit and your stupid boyfriend. I'm leaving. Bye.
Well,
move into the dorm mansion.
Doing double shifts of crying. Didn't you notice?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking
for as many pennies as she can in the couch at home.
I will give that actress her flowers, because there are some people who try to cry on TV shows and pretend to cry and can't. And she actually did a good job at crying. So I will give her that credit.
I mean, I'm assuming that's why they hired her, because she and Alex looked absolutely nothing alike.
No, I know.
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
Well, it's in the next episode, it's without spoiling everything, it's going to get worse with Alex's mom, and we're going to get more Sean and Emma, and oh boy, we need a C-plot with Ellie and Jesse, everybody, so, because we
can't wait for those two to get back together, thank God.
Like, I was like, after Paige said that he's gone, I was like, oh no, is Jesse not going to be on the show ever again? Fuck. So
no.
My prayers have been answered.
Don't worry. He's still a predator.
Yeah.
He still needs to pray.
Fucking great.
Collectors never stop collecting.
So there you go, everybody. Come back and check this out. And then just so you know, we have not sorted out our long-term plans yet for, you know, I mean, we're going to go to season 7, unless we just quit.
The show killed us.
but we're going to go through, I think, a couple of things before we get to it. We're going to do a Christmas episode, right, Arlo?
Yepers.
What are we going to talk about in case people want to watch it in advance?
Oh, we're going to talk about the Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special, and it is amazing.
Yeah. So go find
it. It would be good, maybe, Alan, if you posted the link on our Facebook group, maybe, so people can easily find
The Facebook group I never promote. We are on Facebook, everybody. Narbos and Broomheads. Just search us out for our Facebook group. I guess I will post it on Twitter, where we still exist, but I haven't posted in like 6 months. Narbos at Narbos Podcast, and Narbos and Broomheads at Instagram. That's not the how it works on Instagram. We are at Narbos and Broomheads on Instagram if you want to check us out there as well. But yeah, we're going to do that. Then I think we're going to do 2 episodes of Littlest Hobo because we haven't done that in a while. And again, let's just fucking kill time before season 7. And then I think we are going to try to do inaugural inductions into the Narbos and Broomheads Degrassi Hall of Fame. So if you have nominees from any of the shows we've covered, then please let us know.
Any of the shows. All right.
Well, not fucking My So-Called Life, though. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
Yeah, the Degrassi. It has to be a Degrassi character, but other than that, open season. I will say any non-like people involved with Degrassi, but not on the show also count. So directors, writers, etc. Everybody open season. So let us know, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. If somebody gets enough noms, we'll probably include them. We're going to have to talk about this as a group, but that's probably about a month away as we get into the new year. So that's all my announcements and bullshit. I'm Slip with 5 Eyes. Slip, you know, the fucking drill. Arlo?
Well, and next week, I guess we're doing Don't You Want Me Part 2.
Yeah.
And then that's after that, we'll move on to Christmas episode. I'm so excited. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Stacey?
Remember how Paul Rubens fucking got caught jacking off in the theater and never came back? He lost his soul. that was the end.
He ruined his career.
It was, his soul was gone, everybody. You never come back from that. So.
Shame.
Sorry, Stacey.
God, how do I follow that? Just kidding. You can follow me on Instagram at srgots, TikTok srgots. Again, if you don't want Degrassi spoilers past season 6, don't follow me there because I have plenty of them. And yeah, that's where you can find me. Let's go to Oville.
All right, Tim here, folly_t, on Instagram. Fortunately, I won't be on for the next episode of this. I don't know, maybe it's unfortunately. But just to give my thoughts on this season just quickly, I made a quick list of some of the things that happened in this, just off the top of my head over this episode. And this was just one season of Degrassi where we had street racing that killed somebody, or maybe injured somebody. We had Sean getting expelled from school. Sean being sent to jail, Sean getting out of jail, we had cocaine use, we had a shooting of a character, we had an online perv, we had a gambling out of control addiction, and we had stripping. And that was just off the top of my head. And this was one season of this show.
One season that covered 4 months of time, by the way, from the start of school.
This season was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It was a stabbing of a character who died.
You said not a shooting.
Yeah.
Stabbing, sorry.
Died in a puddle. Yeah, in a puddle of piss, everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is only half of the school year because 6 was one half of their grade 12 and season 7 is the other half. So that's a lot of stuff to stuff into one semester of Degrassi. It goes there in this season.
It is wild. So those are my thoughts, just wild.
Yeah, it's great. So everybody, come back in a week and we'll do it all again and finish yet another season of Degrassi. And until next time, we'll see you when we see you. Bye.
Bye.
Your soul is mine.
Well, I said I'm going to get my ups. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about pictures out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk around the cafe cut just to get caught my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh.